My own question. Aren't you glad you're saved? He leadeth me. And the Sunday school lesson, oh my. That was thrilling. I've been studying the tabernacle from the time I was about 14 years old. And every time it gets more and more precious. So, Brother Dave, I'm looking forward to the future lessons. What a joy to get so much from one book. You can't get this from any other book. How we need to cherish the Word of God. And now we have to change the subject. Book of Genesis, please. Chapter 6. I'm not going to announce the subject. It will become clear as we move along. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 4. Genesis 6, verse 4. There were giants. We've looked at that word before. Nephilim, tyrants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, the fowl of the air. It repenteth me that I have made them. Wickedness. Wickedness. It repenteth the Lord that he had made them. Now, before we read any further, let me read for you something which a great student said. Great student. Great geologist. Learned man. He said that if you took all the water that be in the sky and brought it down on the earth, it would only cover the earth up to 2 inches. What does God say? Genesis chapter 7. The professor said that all the water that we have would cover the earth up to 2 inches. Chapter 7, verses 19 and 20. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. All the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. The word of God says the mountains were covered. The professor said that there's only enough water to cover 2 inches. Who's right? And that's our theme. God or man. Now let's look into this thing and see if the Bible has an answer. Genesis chapter 1. The professor said there's enough water to cover up to 2 inches, the whole earth. The Lord says all the mountains are covered. Who's right? Well, we know who's right. And this is the approach that you young ones, especially in school, must take. If the Bible says it, it's right. Even if you don't understand. God didn't ask you to understand anything. He says, believe. And after you believe, it's amazing what he'll give you to understand. It's like the young man who said, I don't believe anything that I cannot understand. I don't see how the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from sin. Therefore, I don't believe that it cleanses from sin. I've got to understand. And he was with a smart young Christian. And this Christian said to him, do you use milk in your tea and your coffee? He said, yes. He said, explain to me. A black cow eats green grass and produces white milk. He says, I can't. He said, well, then you stop drinking milk. God didn't ask you to understand. Just believe. Now let us look into this and see what the Bible has to say about the flood. Where did the water come from? Remember, the professor said there's only enough water to cover up to 2 inches. The book says that all the high mountains were covered. Let's look into that. Genesis chapter 7, verses 19 and 20. We just read those. Titus 1 and verse 2. No, we won't. You need not turn to it. You know what it says? God cannot lie. How about that? God cannot lie. Now let's try to explain this. Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 to 17. God said, let there be lights where? In the firmament of the heaven. To divide the day from the night, let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, the stars also, and God set them where? In the firmament. Verse 20. So you have the sun, the moon, stars in the firmament. Verse 20. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that they may fly where? Above the earth in the open firmament. What is the firmament, therefore? The sun, the stars, where the birds fly, where the helicopters fly, and where the airplanes fly. That's the firmament. Now let's go a little further. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. Bearing in mind what the professor said, there's only enough water to cover for 2 inches the whole earth, and God said all the high mountains were covered. Genesis chapter 1, did I say? Verses 6 and 7. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. Now this firmament we just saw is the part of the heavens that we can see. God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were where? Above the firmament. So what do we find? The firmament is what we can see. Waters are under the firmament, and waters are above the firmament. So where did the flood waters come from? above the firmament. Genesis 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th year of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven, where are they? Above the firmament. That's where the floodwaters came from. That's how all the mountains were covered. God said it. We believe it. Now, there are a whole lot of people that don't believe. They call themselves professors. These would be intelligent men who say they or think they know everything. Oh, I don't believe the Bible. Thank God we believe the Bible. Again, chapter 7, verse 20. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. The mountains were covered. And this is what I want to consider today. If God says it, it's true. I repeat, God did not ask us to understand anything. The understanding comes after the belief. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. Verse 6. I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make thee nations of thee. Kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy. I will give thee to thy and to thy seed the land wherein thou art, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. You ask me why I read so fast. There were seven I wills. God said, I will. And do you know that each of those seven I wills came to pass? If God says it, it's going to be. Exodus. Chapter 6. The seven I wills to Abraham. Every one of them came to pass. And now we're going to read about seven I wills to Moses. And every one of them came to pass. Chapter 6, verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burden of this. I will rid you of their burden bondage. I will redeem you with a stretch hand. I will take you unto me for a people. I will bring you into the land. I will give it to you for rest. I am the Lord. Now check those seven and you'll find that every one of them came to pass. If God says it's going to be, it's going to be. Now, we have in the world people called Bible critics. Bible critics. You know what they are? They're Bible vandals. Bible vandals. Years ago, you have to be careful of critics. Went to a concert at Carnegie Hall in New York City to hear a world-renowned pianist play, Alexander Brodsky. He was a Chopin specialist. He played Chopin and his last number, Pictures at an Exhibition by Mussorgsky. And as he played, you could actually see the pictures. Oh, it was great. When he finished, there was a standing ovation. The next day, I read the New York Times music critic. And what did he say? He played as if he was tired. He played as if he was bored. He played as if he was glad to get it over. Watch the critics. Watch the critics. They are vandals. If God says it, that's the way it's going to be. When I was a boy, a long time ago, not too far from where we lived, there was a blacksmith shop. And I can hear now that anvil, those hammers going down on the anvil. I can hear it. I have a little poem here about the anvil. Last eve I paused beside a blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chimes. Then look again, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all these hammers so? Just one, said he with twinkling eye. The anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought, the anvil of God's word. For ages skeptics have beat upon it. Yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unheard and the hammers are gone. The anvil of God's word. If God said it, that's the way it's going to be. Shall I read you another one? The Bible stands like a rock undaunted, mid the raging storms of time. The pages burn with truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands like a towering mountain, above the works of man. Its truth by none can be refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands and will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I'll obey. The Bible stands every test we give to it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I hope to live it, and prove it, and make it mine. The Bible stands. Many books have been written. Have you heard the story of Walter Scott? Not that famous literary fellow, the biblical Walter Scott. Walter Scott. He was in his study. Had many books. He wrote much and he read much. His nephew came into the room and he said to his nephew, bring me the book. His nephew said, but uncle, there are all these books here. Which book do you want? He said, there's only one book. The Bible. Bring me the book. The Bible stands. And you know how we should approach the Bible, beloved? Read it through. Note it down. Or even, you know, at your bedside when you're next to your bed when you go to sleep, may I suggest that you put a Bible there, a notebook, and a pen. Oh, so often it's right. 2 or 3 in the morning, suddenly a thought dawns on me. Oh, you'll remember it in the morning. No, you won't. You better write it down. Write it down. Pray it in. Work it out. And pass it on. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. the Word of God, the Bible, greatest book in the world. And I believe every believer here cherishes the Bible. When I go to homes, I like to look around. I like to see the pictures, and I like to see what books they read. And I went to this home back in New York, nice young couple. And I walked around and looked, and I saw a Bible. I said, "Oh, I see you have a Bible." "Yes." "Do you read the Bible?" "Oh, yes, we read it." "If you read the Bible, why is there so much dust on it?" It was there for decoration purposes. That's not the purpose of the Bible. Dust on the Bible means dearth in the heart. The Bible is meant to be read. Isaiah 40, did I say? Verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever." This is going to stand forever. Oh, beloved, cherish it. The question comes, who wrote the Bible? Many tell us, and this is why we have to pray for the powers that be. In that Congress of the United States, you have representatives there and senators there who tell us that we're old-fashioned. We're living in the dark ages. We believe the Bible. Who wrote it? 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Who wrote the Bible? Where did it come from? Second Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Latter part of the verse. "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." God wrote this book, and not man. And you can prove that God wrote the book very simply. Let me read this for you. "The Bible was written by evil men or demons, good men or God himself. Evil men or demons could not have written the scripture, for they would never continually exhort us to obey God." So the devil and evil men didn't write. How about good men? Did good men write the Bible? "Neither could good men write the Bible, for they would cease to be good if, having repeatedly attributed the words to God, they were actually their own words." And that leaves us with one conclusion. God wrote the book. I'm about finished. It's just to encourage us to go on with the book, regardless of what men may say. When I was 10 years old, for the Sunday school, I had to memorize what I'm about to read. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions immutable. Read it to be wise. Those of you at school, read the Bible to be wise. You'd be amazed. You remember Daniel and his three friends? They honored God. And what happened? Final examination. Daniel and his friends came out 1, 2, 3, and 4. Oh, you say that was way back there. Oh, no, it wasn't. I think I've told you about this. A young lady, she's now in California. She was in fellowship at the meeting. Went to a nursing school nearby. Many times she came to my wife and me, oh, I'm going to give up, they're after me, they tease me, they bother me. And we said, Grace, stay there. God put you there. Study. Just study. We are praying for you. Don't give up. And Grace finished. Graduation came. Graduation was on a Friday night. And Friday night is when we usually have the meeting that you have here, we have here on Wednesday. But my wife and I said, we've worked so hard with this young lady. We must go to the graduation. I believe God will understand. Oh, they teased her and they taunted her and they, you were this, you so. Oh, they gave her a hard time. Graduation. I was there. This is not what somebody told me. 14 prizes were given out. Grace won 13. Young folks, honor the book. Don't be ashamed of the book. Stand fast in the book. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's guide, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's charter. Christ is its subject. Our good its design. The glory of God is its end. It should fill the memory. Memorize the word. And you know one thing about memorizing the word and reading the word? Well, this has no meaning for me. You'll be amazed sometime in the future. Oh, that verse, that fits right in right here. Memorize the scripture. Glory of God is its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Guide the feet. Go by the word of God. Don't go by the world. Go by the word of God. You remember the story of the young lady? Senior at school, child of God. And somebody said to her, you know how the seniors have these proms, these big dances where the ladies wear all these fine things. And met her and said, aren't you going to the prom? No, I'm not going to the prom. But everybody's going to prom. She said, no, everybody isn't going. I'm somebody and I'm not going. That's the stand you need to take for the Lord Jesus Christ. Read it slowly. Not that Evelyn Page fast reading. Read it slowly. You can read the newspaper fast. Read the comics fast. But read the Bible slowly. Read it frequently. You mothers, I know you're so busy. They say a man works from morning to noon, or rather from morning till dawn. A woman's work is never done. She's always busy. But sisters, find time for the word. Read it frequently and prayerfully. It is given you in life, and it will be open to the judgment. We'll talk about that one day. The books were open. You know one thing about the books that I'm glad about? My name is written there. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Thank God, the fire and the torment, my eyes will never see. I'm going to heaven. It involves the highest responsibility. rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its holy contents. The Bible. God wrote it. He didn't ask you to understand it. He said, believe it. And as we read in Ephesians, He'll open the eyes of your understanding, and you will eventually understand much. I'm finished. I hope I got the point across. The book. Go by the book. Hymn number 222. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And when Brother George is here, he always says, sing it twice, not once. I enjoyed that, as I said before, that introduction to the tabernacle. I'm waiting for our brother to say, to continue. It's a fascinating study. What else can I say? The Word of God, given by God Himself. Let's cherish it. Let's read it and study it and live it. Question was once asked, what is the best version of the Bible? Oh, there's so many versions of the Bible. What's the best one? You know what's the best version of the Bible? A believer who is living it. That's the best version. I better stop. Let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we give Thee thanks for salvation. We give Thee thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore in His body our sins on the tree, who shed His blood to cleanse us from all sin. And having done this to Thy satisfaction, Thou hast sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us. We give Thee thanks. May we cherish Thy holy word. May we study it. May we walk in it. We commit ourselves now unto Thee as we dismiss. Take us home in peace and in safety, we pray. Grant Thy blessing upon each household. Should there be those here that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, may they bow to Him even this very hour. We give Thee thanks and present and commit ourselves unto Thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.